Welcome to another EbizQ podcast.
Hello, EbizQ listeners. This is Jessica Ann Mulla. I'm here with Ian Howells today, who is the CMO of Alfresco. Ian, thank you for joining me today.
It's a pleasure, Jessica.
Today we're going to talk about cloud, and we're also going to talk about enterprise content management. And the first thing I want to ask you is, what are you hearing from your own customers and the Alfresco community on their needs and desires around cloud computing capabilities?
It's interesting. When you speak to people, it reminds me a lot of the early 90s and the internet. At the time I was living in London, I came to San Francisco, and everybody was talking about the internet. And I said to my friend from Chicago, you know, none of my customers talk to me about the internet. And he said, none of mine in Chicago do as well. It's kind of a San Francisco Valley thing. And then 6 months later, that was all you ever heard about. And I think there are real parallels with the cloud in that it's much bigger in San Francisco than it is in London, but ultimately it will be as disruptive and have as big an impact as the internet. I think some stats we looked at was IDC was saying cloud services will be a $44 billion business by 2013. And it's not just about the public cloud as well. I think Forrester was saying 44% of enterprises are looking to build private clouds inside the firewall. So I think it's going to have a very far and long-reaching impact. And specifically what we see at the moment is for our customers, what they really wanted to have was the flexibility to choose Alfresco and just say, I want to buy 10 units. And they don't have to say up front if they're going to run it on an Intel chip or a Spark chip or a VMware virtualization or a private cloud or Amazon. They just want the flexibility to deploy that when and where they want. So I think that's the thing that clearly came back to us is don't want to have to know up front exactly where they're going to deploy your software in the public, private, virtualized, or bare metal.
Right. Now, in your opinion, how do the benefits of cloud computing differ between small to medium-sized businesses and large enterprises?
So I think if you look at software, that kind of the no-brainer is it doesn't run in thin air. You've got to install it. And I think you already build the benefits up. So when you install software, you install a stack, which is the software, the versions, the patches, then you optimize it. And what the first step really does is virtualization, which consumerized that whole installation process. And you could kind of provision something in hours instead of days and consolidate virtual machines onto a single piece of hardware and really reduce your hardware costs. And when we look going forwards, what the cloud does is take that one step further. It actually consumerizes the deployment of a stack, maybe an Amazon image, but you have a portal to provision it, and it consumerizes the billing, consumerizes the Elastic expansion, and allows you to have a variable cost, the way you wrote out, so it's really coming out of OPEX, not CAPEX. Now, when you look at those generic benefits and compare them to what an SMB wants and an enterprise wants, I think they're kind of subtly different. That the SMB is probably going to be using the public cloud, and they're really, what's really driving them is simple rollout, low cost, and a low dependency on IT. Whereas I think if you look at enterprises, they're much more looking at private clouds to reduce their large cost. But they already want the flexibility to roll software out very quickly, be nimble, elastically expand, and potentially cloud burst into a hybrid environment. And the other thing we've seen more for medium-sized businesses is it's very expensive to put in place a disaster recovery system. So they're really looking at the public cloud as their potential disaster recovery system.
Sure, that makes sense. Now, let's talk a bit about open source. What's the importance of open source to the cloud?
Look at open source. It's historically powered the internet with things like the LAMP stack as the infrastructure, and then you've got things like WordPress and MediaWiki for blogging and wikis. And similarly, it's power in the cloud. You look at Amazon, their virtualization is actually Xen. The de facto operating system they use there is Linux, and they've now expanded that to be Red Hat. They now distribute MySQL. And interestingly, if you look at the majority of the Amazon images, the AMIs, most of those are open source products. And I think that's predominantly because open source has proven itself previously to be internet scale, but also the licensing is very ubiquitous and easy to distribute on the cloud. And when you want to buy it, it's very low cost as well. We've seen similar kind of things with Google, really extensively using open source in the cloud.
Now, why bring open source enterprise content management into the cloud? What makes the two a good match?
I think if you look at historically, people have collaborated on the cloud around content with blogs, with wikis, in a social sense, and around collaboration. So there's always been an innate need for managing content effectively in those environments. So, for example, if you collaborate on content, and then you agree this is kind of where you want to go, it tends to have to go through a kind of a draft review approval process before you put it out somewhere else. So I think there's a real need for content services on the cloud. And we recently announced fitting our content services into some of the Lotus products like Quicker, Portal, and Lotus Notes as well. So I think generically, either inside the company or on the web, specifically in a collaboration space, people need content services, and we saw a big demand for that. And the kind of process we went through is, the first thing we put out was a pre-built AMI or Amazon image of the Alfresco stack for community developers. We put that out, it's been downloaded a significant number of times. Now, by default, whenever you try Alfresco, the default way to do that is in the cloud on Amazon, and you can have an image which isn't just Alfresco on the Alfresco stack. It has pre-built content, so you don't go into an empty repository, and pre-built video tutorials as well. So it's a great user experience that you can then reset every day to go back to the original content and the original tutorials as well. Then we also, looking at the harmonization, which I mentioned up front, that customers want. They don't want to be penalized for running on the cloud or penalized for running internally. They just want to have harmonization of the product that they want to buy to choose where to deploy it, on an Intel chip, a Spark chip, on VMware, or on Amazon. So we're able to roll our software out and have it supported in the cloud as well. The other thing we then built on was, if you think about the cloud as consumerizing how you roll out software, we worked with a company called RightScale to consumerize how you roll out complex deployments like a load balancing and clustering of Alfresco as well. And that got a lot of interest. So you basically go through RightScale and you spin up a cluster as simply starting up an AMI.
Very interesting. Now, what has Alfresco and its partners done to put cloud computing into actual practice?
So I think the cool thing that we want to provide for both ourselves and our partners is there's a new standard coming out called CMIS. And that really is the equivalent of the SQL for the database industry. And if you look, when you look at the kind of partner ecosystem in the mid-90s and parallel that to today, when Oracle had SQL 92 and the other vendors in the industry had that, suddenly an application writer could write not just against Oracle, but Ingress and Formix and DB2, et cetera. So you had a much bigger market opportunity. And Oracle, even though it had its own CRM, HR, and manufacturing systems, it worked with PeopleSoft, it worked with Siebel, it worked with SAP, and that created a great demand that pulled through database sales. And we see an equivalent kind of partner ecosystem around content applications and those content applications needing a standard-based repository. So we've worked very hard on the MISI around CMIS. It's going to be approved by OASIS very soon. And we see a massive opportunity in the cloud to create an ecosystem around a CMIS repository that's specifically to be very, very consumable in the cloud, to be optimized for the cloud, to have things like lightweight scripting, and to have cloud-ready AMIs built on top of Alfresco that run content applications. And those tend to be written by really our partners. So we see a real opportunity to create a seamless ecosystem in the cloud.
And moving forward, what is Alfresco's long-term cloud computing strategy?
I think the long-term strategy is to focus on CMIS. We see that being the big opportunity to become simple to consume, simple to scale out, seamless repository in the cloud for partners to write applications against.
And one last question. Outside of enterprise content management, what other industries do you think can benefit most from cloud computing?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There was a very good report by Forrester looking at cloud adoption and looking at how it differed by the type of company. And small businesses are really looking at how to use the cloud for email, and they've historically done that in a hosted environment. Mid-sized businesses are looking at the cloud for databases and the web. Enterprises are looking at it for really a test and dev environment. And I think the other big obvious thing that's going to continue is the whole collaboration space with collaboration and wikis and blogs and the social space as well.
Well, Ian, lots of interesting thoughts to think about. Thanks so much for joining me today on the podcast.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.